please listen carefully.
Well, hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Summers McKay, and today we have a very special guest, Amelia Buckley.
Hi, everyone.
All right, so as you guys may have figured out, this week we are doing short bits and bites of optimism. Consider it like the espresso of Optimist Daily. We are taking a little bit of a week off because it's Christy's birthday week. It's also the first week of August, and we all decided we wanted to sleep in. But, well, not really. But anyway, you know the gig. We are talking about our favorite stories from the summer, including stories that went most viral and why we think that happened. So, Amelia, today we're going to talk about Clover Lawns.
I'm super excited. This was one of our top stories from a couple weeks ago, and everyone was just so excited about it. I personally live in an apartment. I wish I had a lawn to replace with clovers, but maybe in the future when I have one, this is what I will go for.
Whenever we're talking about like urban gardening and all of the stories that cover produce and yards, do you just have like house envy?
I do. I have so much house envy. I send all of it to my parents who have yards, and I'm like, you guys have to do this because I can't.
Get on it. Well, okay, so the headline reads, and this was printed, I forget which day this came out, but
it looked like June 22nd.
Over a month ago, but it's still trending on the Optimist Daily. The headline reads, "Why a clover lawn is so much better than a grass lawn," from the environment section. So Americans apparently use 7 billion gallons of water a day on their lawns. And guess what? 50% of that is a total waste. Overwatering by 3.5 billion gallons is bad for the grass, evaporates, runs into sewers, takes pesticides with it. There's a huge environmental cost for this overwatering of your lawn situation. But people like lawns and they don't like big dirt yards. Actually, one of my neighbors has a great big dirt yard because they are determined to be ecologically sound, and we live near the beach, and their great big dirt yard is kind of an eyesore for everyone else in the neighborhood who is building drought-resistant lawns in these like super complicated drought-resistant environments. Well, there is an in-between, and that in-between is a clover lawn. Basically, clover lawns are easy to grow. They don't need fertilizer or herbicide. In fact, if you use herbicide, it will kill your clover lawn. They grab nitrogen out of the air, put it in the soil. They self-feed, and they've been doing it for a long time. It actually used to be pretty ubiquitous in the 40s, and then it sort of phased out over time as we developed a new perspective of those big, green, grassy, rolling lawns. So what I wanted to do is dig a little bit deeper into how you actually put together your clover lawn. Hey, Amelia, what do you think step one is?
I'm thinking it's get a leprechaun.
Yes, exactly. Step one is find the end of a rainbow, pot of gold, leprechaun. Or step one.
That's only if you want all four-leaf clovers. If you're going for three-leaf clovers, I think Summers found a website that actually explains how to do it without a leprechaun.
Yes, exactly. Well, and as you may remember, we have a cat named Clover at our house. And the reason we have a cat named Clover at our house is we got Clover right around March 17th. And we have clovers that sort of run wild at the base of our rose bushes. And we're constantly pulling them. And they are those gorgeous clovers that have these big yellow flowers. So there are lots of different types of clovers. But here's the trick. And you can get this full rundown linked in the story on the Optimist Daily. But the simple way you do it is if you have an existing lawn, you're going to mow it, rake it, aerate it, and throw in the clover seeds. If you are starting a new lawn, which I know we have that dog run area on the side of our house that I've talked about a dozen times, figuring out what we're going to do. I was going to, you know, turn it into a composting pile, and that's just more than I can handle at the moment. But what you do is you've got to prepare the soil a couple weeks before, rake it, get all the weeds out, and then you're going to do a mix of a drought-resistant grass and clover. So this is kind of a little bit misleading that you would suggest you'd have an all-clover lawn, but the way to have them be most durable is to identify the drought-resistant grass in your area, and you mix about an 80-20. So most landscape professionals recommend a ratio of about 15 to 20% clover seeds to 80 to 85% drought tolerant grass seeds that are suitable for your area. This way, the clover lawn can withstand foot traffic and won't need regular reseeding. Basically, sprinkle it down, water it very, very lightly, and then let it grow. So anyway, I think the reason that this particular article went viral is people are looking for alternative ways that are lower maintenance and lower impact on the environment. And this would be a really lovely way to change your landscape.
California is also going into, you know, we've had another winter with pretty light rains. And I think people are looking for a way to avoid those classic sprinklers that are just spewing half the water onto the sidewalk. So I think people really want these solutions where they can still have that luscious front yard, but with less of an environmental impact. And this seems like a really great way to do that.
Now, your parents have a yard. Did you grow up gardening?
We did, yeah. My mom is really into gardening. My dad is kind of into gardening. But yeah, my mom's house, we have plum tree, tangerine tree. We have beds with a bunch of squash. We do strawberries and tomatoes every year too. Pear tree. We're big on it.
Oh, I love that. Some of my favorite childhood memories were actually, this sounds ridiculous, but when I was a little kid, we lived in Colorado and my brother and I had the task of weeding our garden. And we had a pretty expansive garden in Colorado. There were these big trash bags and we had to fill bags and we'd get them filled. My mom would come out and like squish all the weeds down and be like, keep going. And it sounds a bit mercurial, but it actually wasn't. We loved being in the garden and we grew zucchinis and we grew onions. And I remember one time I was weeding and pulling and eating onions. I came in and my mom was like, whoa, there was a lot of onion on my baby breath at that point. We had a crab apple tree, which we climbed and we would eat the crab apple tree. So being outside in the garden is something that is just in my soul as well. So it sounds like you had that kind of a childhood as well.
Yeah, there's definitely something more rewarding about eating something when you grew it yourself. It's the backyard to table idea. My favorite part was always cooking with the stuff that we brought in. I wasn't huge on the gardening, but I loved cooking with whatever we made. You know, we did jams, plum jam, and making butternut squash ravioli with some of the butternut squash. Delicious.
I love that idea. You know, my parents right now are growing tomatoes at their home, and I look forward to being able to grow more for ourselves. We don't really have space to grow a lot of food at our house right now, but that is why we love our farm box and our farm box delivery, because we are getting it from local growers right around us.
Well, maybe in your new house, now that you have a walking baby, maybe in your new place, you'll have a little bit more room to garden.
I know. We're trying to figure out, just because the baby is walking and needs more space, it doesn't mean suddenly we have more income. So there's this rock in a hard place. My husband and I are like, quick, find a third job other than parenting and working full time.
Put Simon to work.
Exactly. We need to put Simon and Ava to work so we can afford a garden. I think it's interesting because I think it depends on where you live and what your resources are, but definitely putting your kids in to work in the garden for me was a great part of growing up. And I look forward to hopefully putting Brennan to work in the garden when she grows up. Maybe even like tomorrow, since she's already walking. I don't know. All right, guys. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the super brief version of the Optimist Daily Update this week. This solution appeals to you, hop on over to the Optimist Daily. We're going to have it on our solutions on the sidebar of the optimistdaily.com. And next week, we will get back to full-length episodes. But for today, hopefully this small little bite of optimism has lifted your day. Hey guys, be part of the solution, changing consciousness, addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset by becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. Help us keep the Optimist Daily free to all who need it, supported by those who can. Have a great day, everybody. Take care.
Bye, guys. Thanks for having me, Summers.